everybody. What a great way to start the show. Welcome, everyone, to the 66th...
This Sunday, Neil Patrick Harris hosts the 67th Tony Awards. When he hosted last year, his big opening number asked, what if life were more like theater?
And what if all your questions had rhyming answers and you never left home without your backup dancers? What if life were more like theater? Wouldn't life be grand?
Maybe real life, like musical theater, would be grand, although as a non-singing, non-dance man, I would suck at it. But walking that knife edge between make-believe and reality absolutely is what makes amazing theater amazing. Take Tracy Letts' Tony-nominated performance as George in this season's terrific revival of Edward Albee's Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf. George and Martha's marriage looks like a co-enabled nightmare.
Yes, Martha, can I get you something?
Well, sure. You can light my cigarette if you're of a mind to.
No. There are limits. I mean, man can put up with only so much without he descends a rung or two on the old evolutionary ladder, which is up your line. Sinks, Martha, and it's a funny ladder. You can't reverse yourself, start back up once you're descending. Now I'll hold your hand when it's dark and you're afraid of the boogeyman, and I'll tote your gin bottles out after midnight so no one will see. But I will not light your cigarette. And that, as they say, is that.
But Tracy Letts, best known as a Tony-winning playwright for August Osage County, told me he sees something different in their venomous relationship.
Well, I think it's in some ways the secret of the success of Who's Afraid of Virginia Woolf, the fact that they're in love. I think if they were just at war, then they're just a cartoon. Then they're just the Bickersons or something. There's more at stake than that. To tell you the truth, the more I do it, the more I think a lot of married people in our audience would love to be in a relationship like George and Martha.
No.
Yeah, absolutely.
Really?
Put down the remote control and get up and fight with me. You know, get yourself out of your stupor and see if you're willing to get up and get down to it.
At least they're alive?
Yeah, they're alive and they're engaged with each other.
Yeah.
I guess what I hope is that they don't simply get up and leave the theater and go, that's not me. I would hope that they see something that applies to them in their lives.
This season, the actress Fiona Shaw also brought a bracing sense of realism to a character who usually exists as this pure paragon of virtue. In the Tony-nominated Testament of Mary, she played Mary, the mother of Jesus. Shaw wanted her depiction of Mary to feel like a real grieving mother. She's bewildered and bitter.
My son gathered misfits, although he himself, despite everything, was not a misfit. He could have done anything. He could have even been quiet. He had that quality, too. He was graceful, good-mannered, he was intelligent, and he used all of it, I said, to lead a group of misfits from place to place. Gather together misfits, I said, and you will get recklessness, you'll get ambition, you'll get anything at all, and it will lead to what I saw, which is the worst sort of catastrophe. And I watched him pushing a plate of half-eaten food towards me like a child in a tantrum.
I asked her if, growing up Roman Catholic in Ireland, she'd known Mary only as a saintly blank.
Saintly blank is very good. Actually, that's exactly what she was being proffered as. She wore pale blue. She was in statues. She had no personality. She never said anything in the New Testament to make any of the Gospels interesting on a Sunday. She sort of hung around on the side, passive, watery, milky, actually, kind of milky.
And sort of invites a filling in by a presumptuous playwright.
Yes, it does. And I think the really good thing is that, you know, why should she not have been a mother of a family or married to a husband who she loved as much as anyone else? But the church was so busy, the early church, trying to neutralize the power of the female, I think.
Right. So she had to be this two-dimensional sort
yes.
of figure. And Tom Hanks is Tony nominated for his Broadway debut, playing a very real guy, warts and all. The role was the late New York tabloid reporter Mike McAlary in Lucky Guy, a play by the late Nora Ephron.
I am a newspaper reporter. And I love my job. And I'm doing God's work. I'm serving the public. I'm telling people what happened yesterday. I'm telling them the facts.
It had to be a stretch for Hanks, the ultimate good guy Minch, whereas McElary...
Well, he was. He was just kind of a jerk. Can you say a**hole on public radio?
I think you can say
a**hole. Oh, there you go. I love this. I love this. You know, there's perks and burdens, and that's one of the perks, I guess. And I did not know him. I had not read him. But years later, la la la, da da da. Let's throw the calendar pages, the front.
Cue that music too.
The time passing montage music. And a couple of years ago, I saw Nora all the time, and we, you know, talked always about what we were up to. And she said, "Well, I did another version of the play about that guy you said was an a**hole." I said, "Oh, well, let me read it again." And from that came our production at the Broadhurst.
Would you have done it if? This particular play, if your friend and multiple collaborator Nora Ephron hadn't written it?
Well, she was definitely a great attraction because Nora was a good hang. She was a fun person to spend as much time with as possible. You always ate well. You always laughed. You were always constantly talking about the pulse of the nation and the world at the time. Yes, I think the play was fascinating enough. Wanting to come and do a Broadway show is, I think, in the DNA of every actor that's out there, particularly one that used to live on 45th Street, right around the corner from where the theater is. So, and not knowing the story of Mike McElary, this was brand new turf for me.
Lucky Guy got a lot of attention because it was the last work by the widely adored Nora Ephron, who died last summer. Ephron worked closely with the play's director, George Wolfe. I spoke with Wolf about that at an event last month.
Nora had an incredible series of skill sets. I mean, I would talk to her about, I'd say, this needs to go and this needs to go, and she would say brilliantly, "I'm sure you're 100% right, George, but I am not prepared to say goodbye to that." And then we move on to the next thing. I mean, her skills of deflecting were just incredibly brilliant. And but at the same time, What was really fascinating is I would give her tons and tons and tons of notes, and she would take them, and I would say, "Take your time." And then she'd be back a week later or a week and a half later with a new draft. And I was at the time, I was sort of dazzled, and I was sort of frustrated. Breathe with it. But as it turns out, she was working at a very different timetable.
Because she was sick.
She was sick, and it was, and I didn't know this, and a finite number of people knew it, but there was just the ferocity and the discipline and the rigor that she approached the work was just astonishing. In some strange way, I felt like the time that we spent and the rigor of the time that we spent was in preparation
for having to do it
without her. I mean, it's the parallels that it's fascinating dynamic that she read McElary's obituary and went, "This will be a great play." McElary was on his way to interview Abner Louima, which was his crowning case when he was on chemo. Nora started, or by the time that she started work with me, started chemo.
Which on this play. And so this other authorial subtext was entirely invisible to you.
It completely.
And to Tom Hanks.
To everybody, but it was being played out. And it was very interesting. On opening night, there were all these projections. And then opening night, as part of the curtain call, we on the projections, we added Nora's picture. And when we did in a rehearsal, it was, we turn around, we point, everything was fine. And then in the moment of opening night and the cumulative dynamic of working on the play, because we went into rehearsal January 14th, all of a sudden this technical thing became instantly rawly emotional.
That is director George Wolfe talking about his collaboration with the late Nora Ephron. You can hear my whole conversation with Wolfe at studio360.org, as well as my full interviews with Tom Hanks, Fiona Shaw, and Tracy Letts.